All right, nice work there from Quinny. You mentioned the US Open markets. It kicks off tomorrow at 1 a.m. I think it sort of kicks off our time tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning. And Darren Kale will be watching it all unfold. And he's been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, boys. I was actually just listening to see if there were any good tips for the horses over there. You had a few good ones, it sounds like.
A bit happening, yes. We're starting to build into a very nice spring carnival. No one there, of course, Darren, but there's some good horses running around.
I've got one, actually. It's called Evening Glory. Davis Cup boys for the last 15 or 20 years have always invested in the horse. So with Rusty, Late Stewart, and a bunch of other Davis Cup boys, we've got a horse called Evening Glory. So it's had a couple of small wins, but I love it. It's fantastic.
Right, Evening Glory, it's in my black book. I'll be looking it up throughout the morning and making sure I'm aware of what's going on. Nice work. Nice work. Now, how's things there at the US Open, the Flushing Meadows? Because we're in a very different world, as we know at the moment, with everything, but certainly in the world of sport. And there's a developing story with one of the players, one of the men's players, testing positive to the coronavirus. What can you tell us in the latest?
Yeah, so Benoit Paire, the Frenchman, has tested positive, I think, in the last 24 to 48 hours, so he's been withdrawn from the tournament. His place in the draw was taken by Marcelo Grenouillet, a Spanish player, and he's the first one of, I think they've done about 7,000 tests since they've been here on site. A lot of the players got in about a week before the bubble started, which was before the Western and Southern Open, which was played on site here. It's normally the Cincinnati tournament, and so they've had a huge amount of players, both for singles and doubles, on site in this bubble, getting tested every 4 days. They've got three different tiers of testing. Tier one for all the players, for all the coaches and the players and the entourage. It's a player plus three that you can bring to the tournament. So they're in tier one. All the commentators are actually in tier one as well, because we have close access to the players. We have to interview the guys, so we have to kind of get in their space a little bit. So we have to adhere to the Tier 1 protocols, which is getting tested every 4 days. And then you've got Tier 2 and Tier 3, which is all the people walking around at ESPN that are basically putting this show together, and a bunch of the USTA staff. So it's what they've done here has been remarkable. I've got nothing but positive things to say about the USTA. They didn't have to run this event. I'm not sure if they're making money out of it, or they are, but if they are making any money, it's not very much, certainly for the hassle they've gone to make this happen. It's been for the players, and they've done a remarkable job. Remembering also, you've got AFL teams in a bubble back there in Australia, but you're only dealing with Australians, you're only dealing with people flying into the state. We've got something like 42 countries represented in the men's draw alone, so dealing with getting players in from other countries into New York. And as you know, there's a bunch of restrictions at the moment with people flying into New York. So it's been incredibly difficult for them, and to have only one positive test, I think that's a testament to how well the USTA has done.
So you were watching a lot of this, Darren, unfold from Australia and the build-up to it all. Now you're over inside it. You've kind of touched on my question about being sort of surprised and impressed by it all. What's the general feeling of everybody else? Do people feel safe? Do people feel like, yes, this tournament should be going ahead? Because there's been a big, big controversy around this whole US Open.
I think the controversy lies in America at the moment. What it's like in the US, it's so political over here. You've got Trump and Biden on TV every night basically slamming each other. If you mention anything about wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, you either alienate 50% of the country, or 50% of the country jumps on the back of you and says, well done. It's an amazing place to be at the moment. I actually came over a little bit early because I put my son into college over here. He was born in Australia but spent the first 15 or 16 years of his life here in the US, and went back to Australia for a few years, but always wanted to come back to college here in the US. So we put him into college, Furman University in South Carolina. South Carolina is actually one of the hotspots in America at the moment, that the coronavirus is kind of out of control. But he's in a controlled environment as well, where it's 3,000 students all on campus there in the States. But honestly, it's a bit of a mess. I must say, the US at the moment is a bit of a mess for many, many reasons. And the fact that we're kind of blocked away from it here at the US Open, that's what makes everybody feel safe and content that everything's well controlled off. But if we didn't have these protocols, if it was loose, like the country is loose, flying into Australia at the moment, you've got to do 2 weeks of isolation. You've got to pay for your hotel. You've got security guards that basically bring the food, you know, all that sort of stuff. And there's no exemptions. You can't get away with it. When my son and I flew across here to the US, we went through the customs. Hey, how's it going? How long have you been away? Well, we've been away about 4 or 5 months. Well, welcome back. Be safe. Nothing about isolating for 2 weeks. Nothing really about precautions. It's completely different the way they treat the coronavirus to what the way we treat it in Australia. And I don't have to tell you guys with the way you guys are treating it in Melbourne. It's just it's much better to be in Australia than it is to be in the US, for sure.
So, Darren, with such little tennis being played over recent times, obviously, how do we get a form line on the men and women? What are you expecting over the next couple of weeks?
Well, the women have played a few small tournaments. They played one in Prague. I think there was one in Palermo as well, but they were on clay. So a few of the players got a bunch of opportunities to play some matches. The opportunity for the women here is enormous, and I don't think there's any clear one favourite, because I think 6 or 7 of the top 10 are actually not here. And the young lady that I coach, Simona Halep, decided not to come over here, more of a health issue than anything else. So there are plenty of opportunities. I know Serena Williams is still the betting favourite at the moment, but what we saw from her last week wasn't great, and she can be a little vulnerable at the moment. And the biggest thing that she's struggling with is she's playing well in patches, but she's just having problems putting matches away, where the old Serena would just crush you. She'd get you into a winning position and put the foot on the throat. That's just not happening at the moment. She's letting players of lesser quality back into matches they have no business being in. But she's dropped a little bit of confidence, and with that, most of the players now are walking onto the court thinking to themselves, this is a great opportunity. Whereas once upon a time playing Serena, you were thinking about winning games. You weren't thinking about actually winning matches. So that's kind of the whole way through the women's tour. You know, players like Kerber at the moment, who's ranked about 30 or 40 in the world, she's a dark horse and a great opportunity. Pliskova is probably the best player ever to win a Grand Slam. She's the number one seed here. If she plays well, she's going to be tough to beat. But I could say that about 20 of the women. I think it's going to be a really fascinating draw from that point of view, because we don't have much to go on, but there is so much depth in the women's game and so many good players here that anybody that gets hot can certainly win it. On the men's side, you can't look past Novak. Even the way he played here to win the Western and Southern Open, it was remarkable that he wasn't playing at his best. He hasn't lost a match for 2020. Got himself in trouble a couple of times. Was a little bit sick in the guts on the semi-finals. It looks like he got the trainer on a few times and tablets to try to get through it. When push came to shove and defeat was staring him in the eyes, he said, no way. He just digs in and he uses his legs and he makes people put them away. And he's so tough to do when you're playing him. So he's going to go in here as the raging favourite. The courts are playing a little bit quicker. They've changed the surface at the US Open. So all of the big servers and the big hitters are having some good results already. John Isner, Ivo Karlovic will be tough. And you've got another bunch of Kevin Anderson's playing Zverev in the first round. That's going to be one of the best first rounds. So look for a lot of the big hitters to do well. But you certainly can't go past Novak.
So, Darren, just on Novak, I mean, he hasn't obviously got Rafa there. He hasn't got Roger there. There's been a lot of scrutiny on him as well with what had happened in Europe, and he's setting up his own sort of association, it looks like, as well. He feels almost bulletproof. It doesn't matter what anyone says to him. It doesn't matter what anyone does to him on the court. He just seems to be able to have an answer for everything.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know if he actually needs that in his life to get the best out of himself as well, because quite often you'll see him playing, even at the Australian Open, and you know what it's like in Australia. We have a tendency in Australia, and especially at the tennis, that you go for the underdog a little bit, and especially if somebody's getting crushed, and then they start to come back. You know, you want them to come back, and Novak gets pretty irritated with the crowds, and that's how he actually turns his focus to get the best out of himself when he's got a bit of a fight to fight. And I don't know if this is kind of in his DNA, that with all this other stuff going on, oh my God, I wouldn't be able to go out there and hit 2 balls with all the stuff that's going on in his life and all the criticism that's thrown his way. But somehow, for him, it's like a shield. And you know, the other player that used to be a bit like that was Leighton Hewitt. And I spent years with Leighton, and he was at his best when it was World War III on the outside of the tennis line. When things were going on outside that he was dealing with, and all hell was breaking loose, and I've got my hands on my head going, oh, my God, what's going on here? He would walk onto the court and get between those white lines, and that's when he played his best tennis. It was like it was a safe place for him to be. And I think Novak's got a little bit of that in him at the moment, but he's very much on this player union tour, the ATP. It would take us 30 minutes to go through that story. It's 50-50 as the player support, as to whether they like it, whether they don't. I think that'll play itself out over the next 3 to 6 months, and we'll get more information to it. I think there's some real merit to what he's doing, but I certainly don't think they've gone about it in the right way, and they've been a little bit tone-deaf as to when to do it as well, because with the coronavirus going on and everybody out of work, and even tennis players out of work not making money, you know, this player union is basically a money push, as it is for most unions. So it wasn't the right time to do it, in my opinion, but I actually do think it's got some merit behind it.
Just what Novak needs, a bit more cash. Good news for him. Good news. Now, Darren, Port Adelaide are sitting on top of the ladder at the moment, and they're going to come home and finish on top of the ladder. No one's talking about them as premiership fancies. How can you sell the Port Adelaide premiership fancy action to us? Because no one's talking about them, Darren.
No, I'm not selling anything. I'm just quite happy with the way the boys are going, and they're playing well. And to me, the big difference between what Kenny and the boys are doing this year compared to previous years is we would have the occasional good win, but then we would drop the match that we thought we should win. And we were a little bit up and down. And I think even though we haven't played our best football over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we're still finding ways to win those games. All athletes know they are sometimes the best wins you can have, because there's improvement to come, but you know you can get better. But in the meantime, you're finding ways to win. And winning, as you know, becomes habit. You know, look at someone like Novak at the moment. He doesn't know how to lose at the moment. Yeah. I'm not saying Port Adelaide is like that, of course. But the more wins you get in the bank, the more you get used to it, the more you demand of yourself, the more you can get yourself through those pressure moments. And that's what Ken and the boys are building up at the moment. Now, whether or not that serves them this final series remains to be seen. But I think it certainly holds us in good stead for the future.
Yeah, they're good to watch. I like watching the player, like Kenny's work, and we're seeing how far they can go in the finals will be fantastic for all the Power fans, as will watching the US Open. It'll be great to see how far some of the big names can go. And some of the new names perhaps might emerge as well through the US Open campaign. Great to chat anytime. Darren, really appreciate your time. Enjoy the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, all the best, boys, and good luck in Melbourne. I hope things get a little bit better for you guys very soon.